Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the food. Food.
Like that aftershave, huh?
Oh, my. She left Chandra's leg.
Lulu.
What I was guaranteed for.
Last thing out of Sassy Von Fancy Pants' mouth is she was making fun of the fact that she always, that dog does that. She goes, oh, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to hump the wrestle man. Well, that's a welcome to the introduction. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Born January 14th in Glens Falls, New York, he was a standout athlete in high school, lettering in football, track, basketball, and wrestling, along the way winning the New York State High School Wrestling Championship, and going on to play football for Southern Methodist University and the Atlanta Falcons. He launched his professional wrestling career in 1979, wrestling throughout the South before landing in the WWF in 1987, and with 2x4 in hand becoming one of the most recognizable names in wrestling, being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2011. And now he's in Kansas City to enter the squared circle tomorrow night at T-Bone Stadium for Metro Pro Wrestling's first ever outdoor event. Please welcome, wrestling legend, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
1979, is that when the career started?
That's when it started, brother, but you know the first thing Hacksaw Jim Duggan has to do, man, is give a big ho!
That's fantastic.
Kind of fires me up in the morning.
Welcome,
you know?
Welcome to the show. Hey, do see if Jesse will wake his ass up. I know he's in Atlanta right now. Call his number and see if he's awake. Because I got a call from Jesse last year. We were just talking about this. He was so excited because you did a show with him somewhere. Was it Baltimore?
Buffalo, New York. Yeah, they had me up on stage with him. He was jamming. I had my 2x4. I was out there holding it, and all of a sudden he got a chainsaw, cut my 2x4 right in half.
And those guys, they're from the South, so... wrestling is ingrained in them. Ric Flair, those are the greats, man.
Yeah, I tell you, that era, people tend to remember that era, you know, Junkyard Dog, Jake the Snake Roberts, Hogan, Macho Man, all
Jerry
the
Lawler.
Yeah.
I was in Lawler's Bar on Beale Street last week.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up watching.
That's a good place to find the wrestlers in the bar, brother.
Dude, I tell you, we had Jake the Snake in here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Jake's one of my very good friends. Jake's doing really well. Yeah. You know, it changed his life around. Yeah. He was the head usher in my wedding like 32 years ago. Yeah, and of course, and we didn't talk for years, but I was just saying, you know, we do stand up together every once in a while with Jake. And I tell folks, you know, the way the boys are dropping, you better get Jake's autograph tonight.
Well, I mean, you have done it all. I mean, was it SummerSlam or SummerSlam?
SummerSlam. Yeah, won the first Royal Rumble.
That's...
You know, it's amazing the appeal of wrestling around the world. I just came back from a 2-week tour over to the UK. I took my wife over. We did the Fringe Festival in Scotland.
Edinburgh.
Yes.
Fantastic.
It was great. The London Comic Con and stuff. So I always ask those NFL guys, I'm like, world champions? Where in the world have you guys been? Wrestling goes all over the world, man.
And what is it about wrestling? Because it is worldwide.
Uh-huh.
I mean, no matter where you go to Asia, it's incredible.
Yeah.
You go to Europe, I mean, wrestling's always been there.
That's kind of my tagline. In the 30-plus years I've wrestled in every state in the Union, every province in Canada, in 30 different countries. It's amazing. It's a fun night out. I find usually folks that are critical of wrestling have never actually been to the show. You know, you come, you cheer the good guy, you boo the bad guy. It's a fun night out.
People like that are the same people who sneer when you go to a fair or a carnival, or you want to go ride a roller coaster.
Right,
they're the same people. You're like, well, you don't get it, do you? You've decided you can't have any more fun.
And I like the big misconception. People go, well, you guys are all good friends, aren't you? I said, oh yeah, we all compete for the same money. We're real good friends.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely some real rivalry. I mean, like genuine, because you know, if a guy doesn't put you over correctly, if you decided on certain moves and then it doesn't go down that way. Yeah. I mean,
I tell folks, you know, there's 1,500 NFL football players this year. There's 800 NBA basketball players. There's 100 WWE wrestlers. It's television. It's more competitive than sports, and people don't see it that way a lot of times.
We were laughing at the, back in the day, before everything became so PC, you always, whoever we were at war with or had trouble with as a country, that was the bad guy. Nikolai Volkov. You
Nikolai
know?
Was so upset with Glasnost. They tore down the wall. It's killing my gimmick.
Us, man. You know, just the Iron Sheik, who, by the way, what a madman.
He's nuts, yes.
He really is.
The best argument for Iran not to have nuclear weapons is to meet the Iron Sheik.
He really, you can't even put him on the air anymore because you just don't have enough dump button.
Yeah.
I mean, and I love the guy. I mean, incredible character. I mean, insane. Mm-hmm.
As a lot of guys are, though, it's quite a collection of characters in wrestling. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you got to have something new for the folks, and it's hard to come up with something new.
And not necessarily of that same era, but DDP has become a friend, man. Diamond Dallas Page, who I think is a very nice human as well, man. I think he really goes out of his way to do the right thing.
Changed a lot of guys' lives. I know, you know, Jake, he saved Jake's life. Scott Hall. And I even think he was talking to Johnny Manziel, the football player, trying to get him in there and clean him out. Now he might need to talk to that swimmer.
That dummy. Oh, you guys, you wouldn't even have it. Well, I tell you, like, you know, these older school guys, like Harley Race from Kansas City.
Sure, of course.
We watched Harley put... He went to Harley's wrestling school.
Oh, man.
And Harley would snap, would put guys out for fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's frightening to see because, you know, we think, oh, is wrestling fake? He'll grab you around the neck and you are going to sleep and there's nothing you can do.
That's the old joke. You're always a phony wrestler until you go to court. You go to court, you're a trained killer. Uh-huh. It goes like this, 10, 20, 30,000.
Yeah.
I says, I'm going to sue you. I said, I'm getting my money's worth. We're not done.
Yeah, you don't miss it by an inch, right? But it is amazing because the stories that they were telling, like, what was the old story about Harley would find a kid who was coming up and maybe he was taking some kind of nutrients via a needle. And he would walk over and snap it off in the guy's ass. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, Harley.
Harley used to carry guns. I mean, it was a much different business then.
Oh, he told a story about banging a midget in a car. You remember that?
Yeah.
Didn't the cops catch him?
Yeah, what happened? He was going from St. Joe from here up to Nebraska or Iowa once to do a show, and he shared a car with the midget. They pulled over in one of the like rest area type areas. Cop knocks on the door. He's fogged over windows, and all he says is he sees Harley.
Looks like he's raping the back seat.
Yeah, like he's in the back seat, and then when he pops up, pops the midget, and he just...
a female, right?
Yeah. So he let him go.
That's
the old joke. I'd be driving back before GPSs. I'd have a 450-pound ball-headed guy sitting next to me, a hot blonde and a midget in the back seat. You try to stop and ask directions, people wouldn't even look at you. Like, just keep walking, you know? Excuse me.
But you were a heel a couple times. But for the most part, you weren't.
Pretty much most of my career, probably out of 36 years, probably 33, 4, I've been a babyface.
Yeah.
Imagine that, right?
But because some guys love the heel more.
Yeah.
You know, because of the huge, what they say, the reaction, the pop.
Yeah, well, I think everybody should be a bad guy wrestler for a while. Get used to people booing you and yelling the worst things in the world.
They'd chase you out to your car. I mean, they would, and I remember down south, they honestly took it so religiously believed in it that, you know, if you were a heel, you had to really think about where you were going and what you were doing.
Wrestling riots were common back in the 80s, you know, where you have to be your own security. We got a hot finish. All the bad guys stay to the end.
Yeah.
Then you'd be out. You'd be fighting with the fans. They'd come in the ring with you, you know, because that was before sports entertainment. You know, they said, you think it's fake? You come on up in the ring. We'll show you if it's fake or not, tough guy.
Right.
And it's a snake pit of tough, rough men. I mean, it's a tough lifestyle.
Yeah, you're making you guys are having to get yourself from show to show. I mean, it's basically a big human rodeo. You know, and you're injured, your spine, your back, your neck, it hurts. Yeah.
Well,
it's
you're
tough.
Out there with bulls like Andre the Giant and one man gang and some monster.
Think about Andre, man. Yeah. I mean, what a just an unbelievable human being.
And he could be an irritable giant, I'll tell you.
Really?
Sometimes I get on the airplane, I'd be next to a businessman, the guy say, man, I had a rough day at the office. I'd be like, brother, I just got done with a giant. He still had villagers in his teeth from the night before, you know? He could be a grouchy giant.
Oh, my God. Just the idea of, like, him sitting. Because, you know, at some point, like, in those wrestling moments, like, the giant his ass on your head.
He'd sit on you. He'd sit on you. He'd call it the mudslide. Bobby Heenan would go, give him the mudslide. And Andre sit on. I'd be like a human suppository. I'm like, mudslide. From then on, I hear mudslide. I roll out of the ring. Oh!
But people did identify with I mean, the character of Hacksaw Jim Duggan. When it was such a simple thing, man. It was just a 2x4.
Yeah, but nothing people, fancy, Dan, about a hacksaw. Just a 2x4 and the flag of the United States of America. Oh, I'm starting to fire up now, brother.
How good is that? Because I think they wanted to root for a guy. Like, yeah, that's a guy you can trust. That Nikolai, yeah. You know he's up to no good.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
The Iron Sheik, you know. The Ayatollah.
And it's been a great business for me. So many folks hear the horror stories about Jake or Scott Hall, you know.
But those were self-inflicted.
Yeah. A lot of people try to compare you to a sports team. Back then, we were more like a rock and roll band than you were a sports team. You know, I tell you, the old days, the booze, the broads, the drugs.
The groupies, man.
God,
yeah.
I miss the old days.
I've heard stories about, like, Hogan and these legends. Even in Kansas City, these parties that would happen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was an appetite there.
There was, a lot of folks, like I said, were more like a rock and roll band.
Sure.
Different city, different country. Everything was out there. And a lot of guys got caught up in that lifestyle.
Well, Think of, you are a rock star. I mean, there's a stage, there's a crowd, there's applause. And there's groupies every single, it's just a different audio version.
Yeah, and like I said, but it's been a good business for me. I did a lot of drugs and booze, I'm not saying that, but I never had to go to rehab for either one.
Yeah, it's hard to feel guilty about it, because I did a lot of drugs and booze.
Yeah. It was the 80s, brother.
Yeah, and the 90s.
Bill Clinton was smoking pot.
In the 2000s for me, too. But I just, thankfully it didn't go bad, but yeah, it's hard to sound contrite about it, because I'm like, no, it was a pretty good time.
Yeah.
I had a lot of laughs. There's some pretty good times.
But a lot of guys really did get caught, and there's a lot of dead wrestlers, I'll tell you, a lot of wrestlers have gone, before their time.
But. Well, and then not even through any fault of their own sometimes. I mean, you think about Hart here in Kansas City. Unbelievable. I'll never forget it. I was watching that that night. Yeah. And then Jeff Berry taking his kid, remember?
Yep.
And I was amazed they didn't stop the show that night.
They fell to his death from
the top of Kemper, right? Kemper.
He fell into the ring, yeah. But, of course, you think of a race car. If a guy gets killed in the race car race, the race keeps going on. The football game, somebody gets hurt bad, the game goes on.
Yeah, no, I do get that. For whatever reason, it always bothered me, though. I just thought, man, he should have pulled it that night. Now, that brings us to Goff, this slave-driving POS.
What?
What's up, Mr. Goff? You are the promoter. Now you're the bad. Now you're the heel.
It's the office.
Jim's going to be really nice to me, though, because I haven't paid him yet. So he's going to be.
I always liked him. He looks good, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, handsome fella. Handsome. Very powerful. You're at T-Bones. What's going on out there?
This is going to be exciting. Outside of the fact that it's a little cloudy, I think it's going to be open up tomorrow, though. It's going to be okay. But our first outdoor event out at Community America Ballpark. And, I wanted to celebrate in style. The T-Bones have been awesome partners with this. It's going to be the first show, by the way. I know it's full alcohol beer
that's
sales.
That's you have to have it. Like, if you don't, beer, alcohol, and wrestling all go hand in hand. You have to have it.
But so we had to come in style. So we brought Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who I've never had in before. But I mean, I've heard nothing but awesome things about him, and of course he's great. You just talk to this guy. I mean, it just takes you back to your childhood. He's an awesome guy. Just driving here is just.
Because you are a real wrestling fan.
Sure.
I mean, for real. Like, this isn't just something you do because you want to start a business. This is what you do. You love this.
Sure. No.
What was it when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I only watched WWF when I was a kid. I never really watched NWA. So it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah,
it was Demolition.
Me feel good,
it
thanks.
Was. But I that's all I watched. So I was a little older. Maybe I was maybe like 7 or 8. I was like 2.
But what was it about wrestling that drew you in and then has held you the entire time?
It was just a great just art. It was the television show I watched. My parents weren't into wrestling. A lot of kids' parents were, but it was prime time wrestling on USA Network every Monday night, and that's what I watched every Monday. Shows were a bigger deal then. There was less channels, less shows on.
Oh, dude, and are you kidding me? I grew up at Memorial Hall with Bob Geigel.
Yeah.
All-star wrestling. Man, I have 3 brothers, man. How we are even walking, how I can feel my legs. These suplexes and just awful, terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, off the top of the couch, just in your underwear, just getting terrible things done to each other.
See, I didn't have any siblings, so I couldn't beat up anybody
oh
or get beat up by anybody.
God, but, dude. so many choke slams and terrible, terrible drops on your head.
I know. I've heard the stories. I never had to go through that, but it's been great. At my first show as a municipal auditorium, that's when WWF was there in like 88, 89. Hacksaw was on the card. Piper was there. He was really good friends with Roddy Piper, of course.
Another legend.
Yeah. And you know, I got to see this guy again a couple years ago. WWE Network did the reality show Legends House, and where they put all these legends together in a reality show setting, and Hacksaw was on there, and totally, not that he had to revitalize again, but like everyone got to see Hacksaw again at this point in his life.
Yeah, well, it was a good change because a lot of folks said, I didn't like you as a wrestler, but I enjoyed you on Legend House. I think they were expecting a drama. They got a comedy out of that thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.